All right. So, my timer's still up there. Prayer requested those needs, folks. Any other needs that we are aware of that we need? Anybody in our congregation needs something that somebody needs, something we can find or do? Anybody give me a very quick update on Elsie? Was she here this morning? She was not? Does she really? Okay. We'll put her on there just to be praying for her, too, for her cold. Does she still have Leah, even though she's sick right now, or does somebody else? Okay, good deal. Okay, well again, folks, if anything comes up or you know of any needs our congregation members happen to have, please by all means share and let us know what it is we can do for each other. Okay, so we're going to be in Genesis 29, the tail end, also going in Genesis 30. I told you guys it would be a little bit like talking about our own family situations, because we're going to read some interesting things that happen now in the life of Jacob, okay? A lot of things. Let's talk about our Charlie Brown cartoon. Sometimes God put us in the dark to show us he is the light. That is the absolute truth, guys, with these things on our prayer requests, with these things that we're struggling with, guys, with the dark times that we see, that we struggle with, that we go through. Sometimes it's just so we can praise the Lord as he sees us through, to bring glory and honor to him. He is the light in the darkness, and we know that, of course, to be the case. So let's do a quick review, guys, of where we've been, and we don't have to go back too very, very far, okay? But we were talking about Jacob. Now, you guys remember Jacob, he had that moment. Last week we talked, he had that moment, right, with God where you know, God talked to him. He said, you know what, I will bless you. And we talked about how he took off, like, on his journey with, like, a little skip in his step, and he was all excited, right, because he had just had this moment with the Lord. And then he finally makes his way to where he's going to be. If you guys join me just at the tail end here, actually, I shouldn't say tail end, the beginning part of 28, I lied, 29, okay, we see it says, at the beginning part of 20, it said, then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the people of the east. He looked, and that's where he, remember, he saw the sheep, he saw all the people out there, and they're all kind of waiting, because they want to sit there, and they're going to water their flock, and they're sitting there by this big well that has this big, huge, rock-like barrier over top of it, and he's hanging out there. He finds out he's in the place where he's supposed to be. That excites him, and then he finds out he's actually with the right people, and then, oh, behold, Rachel's coming along. And he sees Rachel, right, and he thought Rachel was, like, the best thing he'd ever seen in his life, this fantastic-looking woman. Remember, he tried to get rid of all the other people. He was like, you know what, this is not the time of day for you to be watering your flock. Why don't you guys go on your way? And they're like, no, we're going to stay. And so remember, that's when he kind of hunkered down, and he was like, ugh! And he grabbed that rock, and he just, like, pulled it off top of the well, and he ended up taking Rachel's flock and ended up giving them water. And next thing you know, now he's back at the house. Okay, now he's back at the house. And remember, Rachel was the girl that he wanted. That was the girl of his dreams. And so he makes a deal, right, with Laban. And he's like, I will work for you for 7 years if you give me Rachel in marriage. And Laban said, okay, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Right? Because he was working for Rachel. But then after we hit 7 years that he had worked, his payment, his dowry, if you will, that he had worked for Rachel, what happened on their wedding night? You guys remember? It was the wrong woman, right? It was dark, she was veiled, okay? And all of a sudden what he did was he slipped Leah in there, and now all of a sudden he got married to and consummated the marriage with the woman he didn't want to. And again, we talked about how that parallels very much, because what did Jacob do? Somebody go back in time a little bit. Did Jacob do a little something like that, perhaps? In his past, what'd he do? Exactly, right? Isaac's issuing the blessing, and there's going to be a little bait and switch. They're going to be pretending that Jacob is, in fact, Esau. And so, you know, they covered him with this furry stuff, made him smell like Esau. And, you know, this whole switcheroo thing that took place, it takes place now to him. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. He wakes up and there's Leah. He's like, wait, this is not what I signed up for. And then he goes and he's like, wait a second, what about all this? He's like, oh yeah, you can have Rachel too. Just work for me another 7 years. Okay. And so that's kind of where they are, right? And so let me just read the tail end of 29 where we left off last week. Okay, and he says, Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?" And Laban said, "It's not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years." And so Jacob did so. Remember at one point we read in scripture, like when he was, that first 7 years he was working, it just seemed like a matter of days because he was so drawn and excited to be married to Rachel. And that was the one that he wanted. Okay, and so Jacob did so, completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. Now that person's going to come into play during what we're going to read today. You thought maybe it was just a little mentioning. No, actually this person plays a role coming up here soon. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah and served Laban for another 7 years. Okay, and so now we've got Jacob, and Jacob's got two wives, and he loves one way more than the other. And part of the issue, too, is it isn't just that he just loves one way more than the other, he makes sure they know it, right? It isn't like he's got two wives, and he's like, you know, I love you very much. I love you very much. No, it's kind of like, you know what, Rachel is the girl, that's the one that he wants. He's like, oh, hi, Leah. Rachel, I love you. Okay, and that's kind of like the nature of their relationship. And so Leah's kind of pushed off to the side. And so guys, imagine, and again, and really this whole entire time what we're going to talk about is family. Imagine the friction that's already generating, right? He's married two girls, they're sisters. I don't know what that was. I was dancing though. Two girls, they're sisters. And he openly loves one more than the other. Okay? So that's where we get to where we're at today. So he's married to two, loves one very, very openly. And so then, if you would join me in Genesis, there we go. Genesis 29, we're going to start off in verse 31. Now, here we see, we're going to talk about Leah. Now, remember last week we talked about Leah and Rachel a little bit, and we said how Rachel had found a favor of Jacob, of course, but we said that really, you know, spoilers, I mean, Leah's going to be really a very important player here. Even though he doesn't love her as much, or she's just kind of an extra whatever to him, as she is a very important person that we're going to find out about. And we talked about, even remember later on, we'll find out that when Rachel dies, she's buried like on the way to Bethlehem, but Leah's buried with the family. And so she's really, really important. And so when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, and that word hated, guys, I mean, that's a big word, right? Leah was hated. It wasn't like she was just kind of like disliked. I mean, it was like she was extra. She was there. She was hated, okay? She was hated. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And so now notice the Lord has stepped in here. He's like, wait a minute here. Rachel, it was the apple of Jacob's eye or whatever, and he wanted her desperately. But now the Lord has stepped in, and he's like, all right, Rachel, you're barren. Leah, you're going to have children. Remember, we talked about this time frame, how important it was, right, the sign of a blessing to be able to have children. And so now again, you got Jacob, and he completely loves this one over here, doesn't really care about this one over here, but this one over here is going to start popping out children, and that's going to be something. But now how they handle that is something to be taken note of, to be looked at, the way each one of them. And so we're going to kind of see this a little bit. Okay, Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben. Which I believe translates like, behold, a son, okay? Because all she'd gone through, she's like, wait a second, here, this kid, look at this, we had a son, behold. And remember, sons were very important, right? Not that daughters aren't important, okay? But sons, especially if you had a son, boy, that was something to behold, because now we're passing along lineage, right? There's a boy in the family, and that's an important deal. Okay, she called his name Reuben, for she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Okay, so we need to stop there for a moment. And we're going to kind of really, really in this, we're going to kind of break down the actions of the various people in all of this. Now, I said, you know, they're going to kind of remind you of your own family. Now, I'm not saying anybody in here has married two sisters and now all of a sudden children this, that, whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying is you're going to see a lot of bickering and arguing and infighting in places where people didn't step up where they should have stepped up. Okay? There are plenty of places where, now in this case, we look at Leah. Okay, and she's been pushed aside, and she's been treated terribly. I mean, you know, but she, no, no, granted, she's married to him and all this stuff, but he couldn't care less about her. Imagine being in that relationship. Okay, yes, sir. Oh, yes. I mean, look, this happens again and again and again and again. Guys, and you know, which shows you, I mean, and this continues obviously still to today, you know, because one of the things, and we had our men's conference yesterday, and you know, we really didn't talk about this, but guys, one of the common things people think about guys, because you see this a lot with guys, is guys don't necessarily associate sexual relations with love. In this case, you see this. Okay, you see this because in this case, it's kind of becoming an end to a means or a means to an end or however you want to say that. Okay, because in this case, you're right. I mean, doesn't really care a whole lot for Leah, but you know what? Okay, let's see what happens here. Okay, even though he doesn't really have a lot of concern necessarily for. Now, I don't want to get the impression that, you know, like that she was just completely and totally abused. That's not necessarily the case. Okay. Yeah, she just wasn't loved. She's just basically, you know, she is in a marriage. And again, the fact that one of the other people is her sister, who is like just, I mean, completely and totally gets the attention, and she gets none. Now I put this a little bit in response to my kids. Now, not the same, but you'll get the idea here. Is that on, what day was it? I don't know. It was one day this week. Elijah had a play date with, actually, my wife, someone she graduated with. She came over, she brought her son, who's a lot like Elijah. They're the same age, they both love Star Wars, all that. They have so much in common. They hit it off very, very, very quickly. Okay, now, there was no little person for Delaney. Okay, now, Delaney's like practically standing on her head trying to get people's attention, right? I mean, because she wants the attention to be on, because all the attention is over here on Elijah, because that's where it is. So eventually, you know, I took Delaney out for a little while and all that stuff and you know, kind of gave her that attention. But when we got back, she wanted the attention to be on her. Now, you can imagine that being a little bit like Leah and Rachel. All the attention's on Rachel. Okay? And Leah's like, look at me. And in this case, notice what happens here. Now she conceives and, you know, has a son named Reuben, and notice how she handles this, right? She says, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, because the Lord saw the way I was treated, now my husband's going to love me. Now he's going to love me. And so what we see here in handling of this first situation, this first kid, and there are more, okay, this first kid that comes along is, notice where her heart really is. She's like, yeah, the Lord, he saw that I was being treated poorly. Ha ha, got you now, Jacob. He's going to love me because I had a son for him. Now, guys, look, I mean, and again, related to this time, you know, the time of our life right now, Doesn't this happen? You know, aren't there, and I'm not just want to throw daggers at women on this, but kind of how, you know, that women sometimes allow themselves to get pregnant because if only they'd have a kid, that would fix everything. This guy will love her now. This guy will be in a relationship with her now. This guy would never possibly leave her now because she's pregnant and having a baby. Okay, well, that's how some people see it, but that's not how it works out, is it? Okay, but how she's seeing it, she's looking at it a little bit from that perspective. Okay, now he's going to love me. I gave him a son. But we see this doesn't really affect Jacob a whole lot. Okay, now, she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated. So again, this is a repetitive thing going on here, right? You know, this wasn't, you know, you're talking about, you know, he doesn't really love her or care for or whatever else, but it doesn't, not stopping him from, you know, reproducing with her, okay, is that we see it's happened again and again and again, okay? And so she conceived again, bore a son, and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, He has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, because that means he hears, okay, or he heard. Okay, again, she can, again, she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons. And so again, we see a lot of misplaced feelings. Had the first one, well, now. Second one, now, no, no. Third one, now it's going to work. No. But guys, notice what happens next, okay? Therefore, his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Okay? So over time, right? We had the first three kids. Not that they're not important, okay? But those first three kids that she's had, right? Her focus entirely was on, how is this going to affect my relationship? How is this going to make Jacob love me more? She got to the fourth one. Now she's like, no, no, no. This time, I praise the Lord. I praise the Lord for what has happened. And so she named this child Judah, and then she ceased bearing. Guys, spoiler, what happens from Judah? Exactly. Okay, exactly. And I don't think it's any small coincidence, guys, as we look at this and we see this, that we've got, you know, all this time, this child's born and she's focusing on herself and focusing on herself, and here she is praising the Lord in Judah, and from Judah will come the Messiah. And I'll show you guys a little family tree coming up here shortly and how it all breaks down, because this will get a little confusing, because there are a lot, I mean, there are some branches to this tree about to come up. Okay, so now she has ceased bearing. Okay, now we go to Genesis 30, okay, and now, you know, I mean, now tables have turned a little bit, okay, because again, Leah, even though she is, you know, I mean, as far as Jacob's concerned at this point, you know, she's popping out kids and she's popping out boys, Rachel's getting a little jealous, okay, Rachel's the one who is now getting jealous, because we see what's happening with Leah. Rachel can't conceive, right? It said God made her barren. She can't conceive, okay? Now, so in some aspects here, and, you know, we're gonna read through this a little bit. I mean, you got a picture, and you're going to see some of this. Frustration levels are rising. Rachel's frustrated. Jacob's probably frustrated because he wants Rachel to bear his children, but it's not happening. And God made it so it wasn't happening. So what happens when we want something and, first of all, we don't see them asking God for it, okay? We don't see them asking God for it. But we want something and, darn it, it's not happening. We're not patient. What do? Get mad and take it into our own hands. Right, we've seen this countless times in the Old Testament so far, in the book of Genesis, where people took things into their own hands when they didn't have faith in the Lord. So Rachel saw that she bore Jacob no children. She envied her sister. Envied her sister. She wanted to bear children too. And so she said to Jacob, "Give me children or I will die." Well, if we look at that, guys, how is she kind of seeing this from her perspective? What is she saying? What's that? Maybe in the fact she is so envious, she's going to die. Also, where is she affixing some blame here? Yeah, right? On God, on Jacob, on both, right? She's like, you know what? I'm going to die here. I want to have children. And notice that we have Jacob. He's angry, okay? And his anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withheld from you the fruit of the womb? What's that? Right. I mean, so obviously something's working right for Jacob, right? I mean, so in this case, Rachel, she's got to be having the problem. She is frustrated. She's mad. But again, you don't see, and guys, look, in looking here in this one, actually, we'll read forward, then we're going to talk about where some people have failed in this. Then she said, oh, Again, people don't learn from their past. And then she said, here is my servant Bilhah. Go into her so that she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her. We've had this story before, right? Yeah. We've heard this before. It does. And so Rachel says, because I can't conceive, here's my servant girl. Go ahead. And so now we've got, and again, I told you this is going to get kind of fractured. Okay, we've got Jacob, who's married to two sisters, one whom he really didn't spend a lot of time with other than to procreate. Okay, he's got one that he favors. This one over here, he and this gal, Rachel, they're not getting along because she can't have children and he's frustrated with her. This girl over here, Leah, well, she hasn't had much attention from him other than the fact of having children. She has just been popping out children, and she has changed over time a little bit. She went from the issue of worrying about how the children were going to affect her life and make her life better by getting her husband closer to her, to now she was praising God for the fact that she was able to have so many children. And now enter this servant. Yes. Who? Rachel? Yeah. But the fact that she was her servant, okay, the more or less she would take it and treat it as her own. In that regard, is kind of, I think, what she's going through, because she's unable to, okay? But she wants to have these children through her servant now, okay? And so now there's a third player in here. Now, guys, first of all, we got to talk about Jacob, okay? We have to talk, first of all, Jacob's married, okay? And we know it's important, biblically, we know this to be true, that the husband is supposed to take care of the wife, right? And the husband's supposed to take care of the business, and the husband is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. And so Jacob is not living up to his expectations here, okay? Because he's had this situation, and he's been part of creating this divisive issue between the two sisters. Okay, and now he's like, okay, servant girl, here we go. Have children here too. Okay, and really, and again, what we don't see a moment, you know, it's not recorded here, but but based on the nature of conversation, I don't know that Jacob, in this place, guys, what a good response for Jacob have been. I mean, before the servant girl even, what would a good response for Jacob have been? Spiritual leader of the household, what's a good response? Yeah, at no point in time do we see that he has taken her, gone to the Lord, prayed with Rachel, asked for these. Now, you know what? Maybe he did. That's not recorded. Okay, but based on the conversation we're seeing, you know, I don't know that we've necessarily got that. We're not seeing a lot of this right now. Okay, we're not seeing him go to the Lord, praying with his wife. We're seeing, hey, she wants to have a kid. I'm frustrated. She's frustrated. Here's my servant girl. Okay. Okay, let's do that. Okay, that I may have children. Verse 4, so she gave him her servant Bilhah as a wife, and Jacob went into her, and Bilhah conceived. Is it Bilhah or Bilhah? Bilhah. Conceived and bore Jacob a son. Okay, and so now you've got three girls that we're talking about, three ladies now, bearing children here, or not, I shouldn't say bearing children, because Rachel's not bearing children, but she's involved in this very, very much so. Let's continue forward a little bit. Then Rachel said, God has judged me and has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she calls. Did I skip a verse? I feel like I skipped a verse. Hang on 1 second. Maybe I did. Maybe I did not. Oh, no, that's where she named him. My bad. Okay. Given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan. Okay, and so she is saying, you know, notice what he's saying here. She's like, God's judged me, but he's heard my voice, and he's given me a son through that girl over there. Okay, and so she named him Dan. Rachel's servant Bilhah conceived again and bore Jacob a second son. Then Rachel said, with mighty wrestlings I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali. Okay, and so again now we have children coming from the servant girl. And again, we're seeing a shirking, if you will, of responsibility. Okay? We're seeing a lot of bad decisions being made. But we're not done making bad decisions. There are more bad decisions to come. Yeah, right? Down the line. Let's read forward. So now Rachel saw... Does this not read like a soap opera almost, right? Okay, Rachel saw that she had ceased bearing children, so she took her servant Zilpah and gave her to Jacob as a wife. And so, again, you know what, guys? We've got so many bad decisions being made. We don't have a whole lot of praying to the Lord and asking for his blessings. Guys, we go back to whenever Isaac was trying to find himself a wife, and the servant he sent, remember the servant was all about praying to God for the blessing of finding the right woman, and enter Rebecca and all of this. And in a lot of these situations that we're seeing here, we're not seeing these people following the Lord. Right? Now we're going to see how all these people, came to be, and 12 tribes of Israel and all of that that we've been talking about. But we see a lot of bad decisions being made. Okay? A lot of envying taking place. A lot of jealousy. And without sharing, guys, have we been in family situations where we've seen jealousy just kind of run amok and take over? Yeah. Absolutely we have. I've shared with you guys some stuff about with my aunt passing away, and then jealousy over the will and who's in the will and arguing over this, that, whatever. Well, you're getting this. Well, I'm mad because I want to get that, and all these other things that take place, sadly, when those situations and people are looking in the wrong places. Look, Leah has given. I mean, she's been blessed, right? She's been blessed with 4 sons. Right? And on the last one, Judah, she said she was gonna praise the Lord, right, for what he had done. But now Leah has seen that she stopped having kids. And so now she's feeling like less of a person. Right? She's feeling like she's less important. Because now over here, over here, Rachel's now given her servant girl, and her servant girl's now popped out 2 kids, and here I am over here, and I can't have, I've had 4 kids, but where are the rest of them? I can't have kids right now. And so now she says, here, take my servant. Okay, then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come. So she called his name Gad. Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she called his name Asher. And so these kids, right, they're being born, and they're, notice those other boys, right? They're boys, and they're being born, and they're coming from a variety of places. But I want you to notice again, look where Leah's looking. Look where she is focused. Notice a couple of key words that she said in her responses. Good fortune. Okay, good fortune. She's like, wow, I'm lucky. This is a tremendous luck. I mean, she's taking God right out of it. What good luck I have that now we have had a couple of sons through my servant, Gad and Asher. I'm happy because of this and all the good fortune that has come, the luck that has befallen me. Guys, it's not about being lucky. It's about being blessed, right? It's about being blessed. And so to summarize where we're at and the things that have taken place, and guys, it's, again, we have situations like this in our family. This one's mad at this one for this, who did this, and this one, and this one over here is jealous of this one, and we see this, guys. And when those feelings are allowed to fester and take over, they can rip a family apart. Things like this, guys, and again, I'm not even talking about giving people your servants and you're going into them and all this stuff. I'm talking about good Christian families can be ripped apart by things such as this. By noticing where the focus is, and now the focus is on oneself and selfish desires and selfish reasons, and not conferring with the Lord and waiting for his response and trying to take things into our own hands and doing this. Guys, this is a family that is, at this moment in time, it's got to be a mess, right? I mean, I don't think they're all like, well, yeah, oh, good job over here. You had some children with him too. Great. This is wonderful. I mean, you got to imagine the stress and anger that is resulting from a lot of these improper decisions, guys, and these kind of things tear families apart. So we got 4 women, okay, all belong to Jacob now. 4 women, 3 of them have produced children for him. Rachel still has not. Boop. Let's go next. Beep. Yeah, right? I mean, seriously. I mean, you look at the number of kids we've got here, and yeah, you're not kidding. Okay, now, some time has gone by a little bit. In the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Do you guys know what mandrakes are? I'll show you a picture coming up here in a second. But they're considered to be pretty important. Now, first of all, I will tell you, actually, when I get to the picture, I'll tell you. So hang on 1 second for me. Then Rachel said to Leah, so Rachel and Leah are having this conversation now, right? Okay, now, Reuben is whose son? Leah or Rachel? Leah, right? Because Rachel has no kids. Okay, Reuben's Leah's son. So Rachel sees Leah and she says, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. All right, so let's recap where we're at. Okay, first of all, notice a couple of key words. We're going to talk about the mandrakes. They're actually decently important here, and you'll find out what I mean here in a second. Okay, but it just seems like it's an aside. It's like, well, now they're talking about these things. They're basically flowers. They're plants, right, that he went off and he at the time of the harvest, and he found, and he brought back, and why are they quibbling over these? Okay, well, I want you to notice a couple of things. Okay, that Rachel asked Leah for them, and Leah, notice Leah's take on this, okay? Is it in a small matter you have taken away my husband, okay? So from Leah's point of view, first of all, Leah was married to him first, and in Leah's viewpoint, that's her husband, and you've taken him away. I was married to him first. That's my husband. Okay, and so you see just the friction that is still ever present there. And so now Rachel wants these very badly, and so she's like, you know what, if you give me some of the mandrakes, I'll let you go ahead and, you know, lie with him tonight. Okay. That's what a mandrake kind of looks like. By the way, if you Google it, there are a lot of really weird pictures of those things. But they're a plant. I will tell you that, you know, not that we need to give it time on this, but a lot of people try to use them let me back up. Okay, they're called mandrakes because the roots of them kind of look like the shape of a man, of a human, right? They kind of got, looks like a little head right here and some arms coming off and little leg. I mean, you have to like use your imagination a little bit, and there's some really freaky things if you look them up online, the way people have made them to look and whatnot. But that's one of the reasons they're called that. But people thought they had very special mystical powers. A lot of people try to use them for witchcraft and all that. Yeah, why? Do you remember? Do you know why? Yeah, here's the reason why Rachel wants them so desperately. Okay, well, two of the things that they thought that these things, these plants could provide, okay, what's that? No, I'm not saying that they didn't think they could do that, but that's not why Rachel wants them. Rachel couldn't care less about a wheat harvest. Okay, what's that? Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that they thought about these mandrakes, really a couple things. One, either you know, serve as an aphrodisiac, if you will, and put someone in the mood for love, okay, or give the ability to conceive and reproduce. Rachel wants these desperately for that reason. Okay, and so that's one of the reason why there's such contention over these. Reuben found them, Rachel wants them, so she's like, you know what, we'll strike up a bargain. We'll strike up a bargain. What's that? No. I mean, I think if you will look at it, a temporary solution to a problem, it'd be kind of like, I don't want to say pacifying, but like, you know, let's say that you're arguing with somebody, right, and that you pacify them by agreeing with them, but that problem's still there, just festering underneath, and it reappears sometime later. This is still an issue. I mean, this is still an issue. Okay, and so when Jacob came from the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. I have hired you. with my son's mandrakes. I have given the mandrakes to Rachel, and remember the deal? You're with me tonight, guy. Okay, it's kind of how it worked out. And so he lay with her that night. And you know, guys, and again, when we talk about the need, and again, it looks like the theme of yesterday a lot for the men's retreat was just about, you know, men being men and men stepping up and doing the right thing and doing the godly thing. And, you know, Jacob had that encounter with God back at, what, a chapter or two ago. And it seemed like he's getting things on the right track, but he just can't get out of his own way. And some people call him like a ticking time bomb, because he just kind of, he sees things and he does things and he kind of just reacts and he does a lot of things the wrong way. You know, I mean, he's just like, he's going with the flow. I bought you with mandrakes. You're mine tonight. Okay, let's go. That's it. That's it. Right? And really, the you know, his family is a mess, and he needs to be the one as the spiritual leader to get it under control. Right? He needs to be the one to be stepping up and being like, you know what, all this going on and the friction here between my two wives, and, you know, I mean, he needs to acknowledge, you know, the wrongs of maybe favoring one over the other, and then finding a way, and then all of a sudden the servant girls are involved, and now everyone is arguing, and his love and affection is being bought for mandrakes. He needs to get his household under control. And that's kind of what we needed to see. Notice this, though, okay? And God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. Leah said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar. Very good. Okay, so let's look at Rachel for a second. Now look, she's conceived. Okay, she's conceived, and you know what? In one sense, you know, she's kind of giving credit to the Lord, right? Sort of. She's like, God's given me my wages, but what she's saying is, I've earned this. I've earned this. I gave my servant. God's given me my wages. I've earned this. God's blessed me with a child. Okay, and so she's now having children. But notice where her point of view is. And guys, here's something else to notice. Look at all these people being blessed, right? Jacob's having boy after boy after boy after boy, which, again, if you remember going way back to Abraham, I mean, the thing that it bothered Abraham so, because that was a sign of kind of like your importance and a sign of your standing in the community. The more children you're able to have, the more fertile you were, the better you must have been, right? The better blessed you were, especially if you're having boys. And Jacob's having boys, 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 boys. We got Leah, and she's just like, she was just pumping out boys. And now Rachel, through all the things and the anger and the fighting and the bitterness and the problems with her sister and all this stuff, and trying to buy, you know, get these mandrakes by giving her husband to her sister for a little bit and so on and so forth, and now she's saying that she's earned this. And she's had a child, something she so desperately wanted. But guys, notice this. She was blessed. Did she earn it? No. Okay? She didn't earn it. Okay? She didn't earn it. Just like God's grace upon us, right? It wasn't like we're like, wow, we really, really earned that. Okay? We worked hard and God's like, yep, grace there. Okay? God's grace, God's blessing upon us. Now, you know, I mean, if we're in line and we're listening to the Lord, you know, there will certainly be blessing upon our lives. That's not what I'm saying here. But in this case, she wanted that desperately, and it wasn't like, yeah, you're right. You know, you did earn that because you gave your servant girl to your husband. So, yeah, you're right. You definitely deserve to have a child, okay? God's grace is there even whether they earned it or not, okay? This is about God's plan. This is about God's love. This is about what God is wanting to have happen here. Okay, so in this case, she has Issachar, okay, and then Leah conceived again, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with a good endowment. Now my husband will honor me because I have borne him six sons. Okay, and so we've got Leah. Now again, we keep switching, right? We got Rachel, she's having this kid, and you got Leah over here having this kid. But now Leah conceives again. Okay, and she bore Jacob a sixth son. She said that God has endowed me with a good endowment. My husband will honor me because I have borne him 6 sons. Notice she's kind of back a little bit to where she was at before. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Am I getting ahead of myself, guys? I don't. What? Yeah. What's that? Yeah, get him involved, right? Get everybody in. You are not the father. You are not, I don't know, who's the mother, who's the father, right? All of these things, right? Sorry, guys. I didn't mean to be necessarily getting ahead of myself. All right. All right. God has endowed me with a good endowment. Okay, and so she called his name Zebulun. Afterwards, she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah. Okay, then God remembered Rachel. Sorry, Tom. My bad. Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. See, I told you it was all confused. Even I got confused, right? I'm talking about up here. And so God did. It says God remembered Rachel. We see that in other places. And God remembered, right? And so God saw Rachel. And again, she was all upset about this. And he blessed them both, right, with children. She was able to have Jacob, right? Jacob and Rachel in this case. She had Joseph from their union and whatever the situation might have been. And so now she wants more. Right? Now she wants more. Now, guys, when we look at where we're at in the chapter, that takes us down to verse 24. Okay, now the next section is about Jacob's prosperity. I don't want to get into that tonight. I just want to show you guys a little bit again on how things worked out family-wise. And guys, the key things to understand from this are that, first of all, a lot of people made a lot of really bad decisions. Right, and you're right, you call Maury, right? Get him in here, find out who this one belongs to with this and that and so on and so forth. All the kids that have come from this, but yet it was God's grace, okay? They didn't earn it. I mean, and again, we've talked before, if we all got what we deserved, welcome to hell, right? If we all got what we deserved. Okay, in this case, because we can stand back here and say, well, look what they did. They did this, and she sold her husband for a night for some mandrakes, and all this stuff, and bad decisions, and God says, you know what? I'm still going to bless you here. You're going to have these kids, because from those children are going to come many nations. And so if we look, guys, this might be a little bit difficult. I think this thing has a little laser pointer. By the way, Andy, and New Lex, they don't have a laser pointer either. I asked, so I don't know if you want one or not. You might have to take one of your own, but I asked. So I just had to point, but that's okay. Guys, and so here's your family tree, and I've got a visual one that has pictures coming up here in a second if you want. But guys, look, and so there's Jacob, and from Jacob then, obviously, here's Leah, and notice how we're numbering our kids at this point, right? We got Reuben, and then Simeon, and then Levi, and then Judah, and then we go over here, right? Because Rachel's not having any children yet. Rachel's later on in the process, okay? But Bilhah comes along, and she has 2 kids. She's Rachel's slave. Dan and Naphtali comes from there, and then Zilpah gets involved because Bilhah was involved, and by all means, Leah did not want to have stopped with 4, so she wanted her slave to be involved. And so Gad and Asher came from there, okay? And then we go back over here, and Leah can now have more kids, and Issachar and Zebulun come from Leah, and then Rachel has Joseph, and we'll later find out about Benjamin, okay? And so notice here, how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Boys, your tribes of Israel. Now, from this, we can go on down the line and take a look. And again, you want to talk about, again, blessing. And again, with making bad decisions still, the blessings that come abound from this. We look down here from Levi. Notice you find you have Moses and you have Aaron. I'd say pretty important people, right? Coming up here in the Old Testament, I would say so. From Judah, we have King David, King Solomon, kings of Judah, leading us to Jesus Christ. From Benjamin over here that we'll learn about, King Saul comes from Benjamin. And so even though these people were making a lot of really bad decisions, right, and trying to do things their way, notice the blessing abound. Notice what happened. Guys, this is where the nations come from, right? Go all the way back to when God was talking to Abraham about him make many nations of him. Even though he had no children and his wife was barren, that many nations would come from him. Here you see it unfolding. And remember, part of Genesis, guys, I mean, the reason why Moses wrote Genesis was it's a story. It is telling the Jewish people about their history. Here's how this all came to be. But also, yes, sir. What, as far as Levi's kids are concerned, I'm not sure overall, to be honest with you, how many kids Levi had. I know Moses and Aaron obviously are the... Like you're running out, Jacob's got 12 kids and then Levi's too. And yeah, I think that and as far as like significance and importance, I cannot tell you for sure how many that Levi had. But I'll tell you, those are the most important ones. Yeah. Yeah, the most important ones that they're talking about. And guys, here's, if you like picture form instead, this just kind of breaks you down a little bit as well. Jacob, and then again, there's Leah and the servant and Rachel and then the servant, and then it just kind of breaks down the kids that you have based upon that. Obviously, we'll spend a lot of time coming up here before too long. We'll be talking about Joseph and his relationship with his brothers and all of those kinds of things. But guys, we see that this is the start. These are the 12 tribes that we are indeed dealing with, okay? Told you it was kind of a history lesson, but I told you it was also, you see these things unfolding in families. And I guess if there's a lesson to take away from all this, and guys, you know what? We're all kind of in the same boat. We don't have necessarily the same problems, but we have problems, okay, within our families, okay? And what we need to do, especially if you call yourself a Christian household, is, guys, we need to be biblical about this, and we need to have our families under control. We need to take care of our business. And it starts, guys, and again, I could go back and read all of this over to you. You don't really see a whole lot of, and then they went to the Lord in prayer and waited for his divine answer. You don't see a lot of that. It was just, I want my way, my way, my way. And, guys, those are the things that, as we look at our lives, and, you know, I see those things in my life. Okay, that you know, as the head of the household, in my household, things to get under control. I see those things, you know, and I've talked to you about how I believe that a lot of my family members, you know, my extended family, they're not saved. How I want to be a part of helping them to learn about the Lord and getting to know the Lord better. And guys, a lot of that comes through prayer. We don't see a whole lot of this coming from Jacob. Now, that's not Jacob's, you know, the end of Jacob's story. Notice it talks about Jacob's prosperity, and we'll go through and we'll find out more, and eventually Esau is going to come back, and that's not the end of the story. But, you know, we see in those couple of places in Scripture where the family's just a mess. The family's just a mess. And guys, we have that. And so we need to pray for our families. We need to do the godly things that we're supposed to do. We need to listen to the Lord. We need to not try to put things into our own hands and do them our own way. And we need to be loving, right? And we need to be gentle. We talked about a little bit yesterday with the guys, being loving, being gentle, right? And standing up and doing the right thing. And guys, I'm going to pray. We'll sing a song, and that will wrap us up for the night. Father God, I thank you again humbly for all it is that you do, for your word, Lord, for the things that we can see, Lord. And again, every Sunday night I say this, but God, we can see ourselves in some of these situations. We can see our families in the verses that we just read about, Lord. I mean, now this was about how the 12 tribes of Israel came, and Lord, you fulfilling your covenant, you doing what you said you were going to do, how there were going to be nations that came from the lineage of Abraham. And we see that unfolding here in these verses. God, we also see that people are imperfect. People don't always make the right decisions. And sometimes they get in over their heads. I mean, I get a sense that in part of this, that things were just spiraling out of control for this family. And God, that even when they were doing imperfect things, you were still behind the scenes working and blessing, and your grace was abound. We're thankful for that, Father, because we all sit here as imperfect people as well. But yet we're blessed. Lord, now that doesn't mean that we're blessed with the biggest house and the most money and the biggest car and all that stuff that sometimes the world thinks means blessing. But Father, we're blessed by you with an unending love. Lord, with a sacrifice of sending your son down to this earth to walk this earth, to preach your word, to die on that cross in such a painful, agonizing way, taking the sins of the world upon him, Father, but not staying dead for long, rising from the dead, conquering death, ascending into heaven to return one day, just as your word says. For that we're blessed. And in all the things that come our way, Father, the good and the bad, may we praise your holy name every single step of the way. We love you, Father. We thank you for what it is that you do for us on a daily, hourly, secondly basis. Your love is unending. Your word is always true. And for that we thank you. It's in your heavenly name we pray. Amen.